Good morning. If you're visiting, welcome to Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. I want to start by thanking the worship team. Please let's show our appreciation one more time. I know the singles had a great time yesterday. I want to thank everyone that put all that together, and the kings as well. This past week, we heard a tragedy happen in Florida. Please be praying for them and the families that lost their loved ones. And let's say a short prayer. Father in heaven, we put the families in Florida in your hands and ask that you comfort them. You provide peace. You provide direction, both in policy and other issues of Father. But I pray, God, that we'll always look to you for answers and not blame one another. Protect them and watch over them, O Father, and help us to have compassion and empathy for them. In the name of Christ, I pray and believe. Amen. Amen. We have been doing Safe People for a while, and some family groups have done, and some are not done, and some are halfway, some are just beginning. So some ways going forward is, one, if you're done, you want to look at that and ask yourself, is your culture changed and is it a safe place? That's one. Two, if you're in the middle or somewhere, keep going. We are getting ready to launch another book, but we're not ready yet. We'll get to it. We also have Cross the Line, Cross the Race book that we did last year. And that's a book you can use to do family groups and bring people into that meeting and talk about it and make sure that we're building that diversity in our family groups. Amen? So don't wait on what do we do if we're finished. Practice. Get on with that book. We now meet, some groups meet at least twice a month. Others meet several times. Choose a day or a time to make that happen and have conversations so that we're bringing people to that meeting, having good conversations, and may God help them to become disciples. Amen? Great. Well, let's get on today about talking about understanding your purpose and mission. What is the purpose of a Christian? Make disciples. We will see in a moment. Worship God. That's where you go. The purpose of a disciple is to worship God. We're going to talk about that today, and I want to come get through. Please pay attention. We miss this place. We miss a lot of things. And then mission comes. We are able to reach out to people and talk to people about God. So, if that's the case, if our purpose is to worship God, and our mission is to reach out to people, how does this connect? Let's see how this works. Mark 1:16-20. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Now, I know if you've been a disciple a long time, you know this scripture. And you may be thinking, I know where he's going with this. Please open yourself to influence. Open yourself to influence. Because sometimes we get so stuck in a system, we don't see what God is trying to do with us. So open yourself. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once and they all followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Let's understand what Jesus does. He says, "Come follow me." In other words, what Jesus called them to is a purpose with them. Fall in love with me. Get to know me first. Amen. We jump that part very quick. We like to go and make disciples. Let's take some time and talk about following Jesus. What is that like for you? How is it for you following Jesus? Making Jesus Lord of your life. Letting that transform you. Getting in the Word of God. I mean, you know, if you follow this chapter and you keep going, he gets to a place where he wakes up in the morning and he's praying very early in the morning. So before I get into the mission, I want to just talk about the purpose, that we worship God, that you've got, come follow me. You've got to follow Jesus. That is the purpose of a Christian. Worship him. Let him imbue you with his spirit. Then the transformation turns. The challenge with following Jesus by just reading the Bible is we can dial up and make it a standard of our own. Or have a finite rule we follow and then miss out the infinite nature of God. So we have these finite things we do. I do this, I do this, and then we cup it up. No, there's an infinite power with God. And he's calling you to say, come follow me first. Before you go looking for everything else, follow me first. And this following is not that you just read your Bible, is that it's transformative. We'll talk about that in a moment. It's not that you just pray, it's that you meditate. That you sit down and meditate and ask yourself, where does this lead me to? That it's not that I read the Bible, walked out, and that's it. No, that the transformational aspect of meditation is that clarity. Peace that transcends all understanding begins to imbue you. It is that aspect that makes you very effective in the mission. If you skip that aspect, something else happened. We'll look at that in a moment. But he called him first to be in a relationship with him. Then second, to mission. Discipleship is a lifestyle. Why do I say that? He was walking as one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. There was no campaign happening. There was no one saying, you got to get out there. He was going around his life. And then he says, you know what? If you read this story, I think he had seen these guys before. If you look in the book of Mark and look at different commentaries, that they had been seeing each other for a while. He says, come follow me. It's a lifestyle. It's what you do as you go along. That you're in love, you worship God as you go along. It's not a Sunday thing. It's everything, it's anything and everything you touch. It's your life. It's your home. It's your mind. Is it worshiping God? So that's the meditation aspect. You try to make sure that your mind is not corrupted by anxiety, by fear, by all the things that the devil puts in our lives and just steals that life of God. And we think, but I'm trying to plan ahead. And trust yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he'll order your steps. So we see that he called him. Yeah, you come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It was a lifestyle. How is your lifestyle? Is there life and doctrine? Or is it just doctrine? How's your lifestyle? You know, if it's a lifestyle and you're worshiping God, you can't help, but from time to time you'll find out, I got to tell this guy about God. Yesterday I was sitting down somewhere, we stood in the Bible. Some guy seeing us talk about the Bible, he came and started talking to us about God. Before I knew it, another guy was talking about God. I said, okay, let's go talk to them about God a little bit. And I said to myself, it's a lifestyle. It's not, I am leaving my house today and somehow I got to make 100 baptisms or 100 people. No, it's a lifestyle. And church, may I put it to us, we've left the lifestyle somewhere. If you look at your life closely, you hardly tell anyone about God. But that's not the issue, is that you've lost the worship. And you've been around a long time. When I speak like this, I may bring the bad feelings. I want to be very sensitive. I want to let you know something. You've got to worship God. That's where it all begins. And the lifestyle takes hold of you. If you're not worshiping God, then something else will happen. And we'll talk about that today. So worship is a big issue. Is that you submit to God. You allow God to be the Lord of your life. And then he called him, then I'll make you fishers of men. So discipleship is a lifestyle. He was walking around. He just talked to people as he went along. That happens because worship is taking place in one's life. So Jesus started by calling them to follow him. Purpose. The result of going to be telling others about Jesus. Mission. If you're having such a great time of worship, you can't help it but tell someone. If you're not having a great time of worship, you can't help it but be quiet. Because you have nothing. There's no worship happening. And worship is not just when life is good. Worship is when life is not working. Because many of us, our worship has been stalled, put down by the challenges of this world. Quenched our fire of worship. Quenched our passion of worship. Quenched our zeal of just, I need to know God. In fact, troubles have become your ceiling. They've sealed you out. You can't rise above the troubles. You're sealed by trouble. You are consumed by trouble. You think trouble. You sleep trouble. Wake up trouble. You don't wake up God. You don't see God's hand. How is transforming your life. How is changing you through those troubles. You just feel like, I'm waiting for this day to get over. No, this day is God, is created by God. For you to worship Him. For you to grow in God. That's why you're in this day. And I say that, you say, how can that be? That was the story of Job. How can that be? That was the story of Joseph. How can that be? That was the story of Abraham. How can that be? That was the story of Jesus on the cross. We've got to connect to the difficulties that life brings our way, but worship through them. That's when we can help the world to know God. Because the world has trouble. They look at us and say, but you're doing everything we do. How different are you? But if we show them Jesus, they say, I can come with these people. They show Jesus. Surely there's a living God. And I can come with that person. And that is how it functions. But many people have always wanted to go be in the mission and never worshipped. And so you feel empty and tired. And when a preacher talks about mission, you're like, here we go. I'm not going there. I'm calling you to worship. Worship. And the mission will come. If you find that you're got dead on mission, you're dead on worship. That is the real problem. Mission is just a symptom. Without God, a tree becomes bad. Let's read this a little bit. A tree is identified by its fruits. Fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. Now, he gets pretty straight with this man here that were in the synagogue. They were God-fearing. And he calls them a strong word. You brood of snakes. I'm not calling you that. I'm reading. How could evil man like you speak what's good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. It's profound. It's profound that whatever is in our hearts determine what we say. It's profound. That's our fruit. It's profound because whatever is sitting in our hearts determines what comes out. So if we're not saying anything, it's whatever is in our hearts. It's profound. It says a tree is identified by its fruit. A good person produces good things from the treasure of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of the evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Be careful what you speak privately about anybody. We give account of those things. Sometimes when I'm talking to my children, I say, I have to hold my tongue because I'll be judged on what I say. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. One day, some teacher of religious law and Pharisee came to Jesus and said, Teacher, we want you to show us miraculous signs to prove your authority. It gets complicated. But let's go up here. Without God, a tree becomes bad. The Pharisees understood the law very well. But the Pharisees their predisposition was to do the law without God. Let me explain. If all you do is you read your Bible and you pray, but you're not focused on worship, then it's an empty place. It's the law. It's right, but the heart is not there. So if all you do is you come to church in the morning, but you're not at a worship place, it's empty. You're angry. You're upset. What's the point? I do all these things. Why do I even have to wake up and go up to church in the morning? It's empty because it's just what is right. It's not the heart of worship, which is submission and trust in God. It's empty. That was the Pharisees' problem. Empty because it's just the law. Because it'll be dead. So Christ comes and says, listen, your hearts are not in the right place. We've got to deal with it. We've got to get the right tree in the place. Get yourself connected to God and the right fruit will come. So you can correct the fruit anytime. You may be having a bad fruit right now. Connect to Jesus, it'll start changing. And if you've been a Christian a long time, you have to do a better job with this. Because you have habits. Habits that lock you to the wrong way of doing things sometimes. You need to have a divorce with those habits. It's a hard thing to do. And come to a place of renewal, change, and going forward. Does that make sense? And yes, you've had some bad experiences sometimes with certain things. But you've got to get to a place where Jesus speaks louder than the experiences. And that place is not going to happen because you just hear me speak. That place is going to happen because you desire. Hebrews 11 verse 6 talks about without faith you cannot please God. But he does reward those who honestly seek him. Honest. If you're honest about it, it will happen. And that is the issue. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. Then he gets into the rebuke. I want to stick with the tree. Where is your spiritual fruit? What's your countenance? Are you joyful, patient, kind? The fruits of the Spirit. As teens, what's your countenance? Are you joyful, patient, kind? As a campus person, are you joyful? The fruits of the Spirit. Is your countenance angry, upset, suspicious? You're suspicious of everything. My kids are helping me. That's God. Dad, you got to raise above these issues and got to be more, see the good in people. If we don't do a good job there, the tree begins to produce the wrong fruit. Even though we sit in the congregation, we produce the wrong fruit. We have to connect to that. That's a fact that we need to begin to address. Then the fruit starts coming back. Amen? The fruits of the Spirit need to come in out of us. We got to be more joyful and then the Lord will do the rest. Your mission shall never replace purpose. When it does, a Pharisee gets born. We may be Pharisees and we don't realize it. When your mission replaces purpose, a Pharisee is born. Because you're just doing stuff. There's no worship. It's about you now. It's no longer, this is God's heart. You're not passing on the heart of God. You're not passing on the heart of Jesus to people. You're passing on what you want to pass on. We cannot do that. The world can see that. They need to see Jesus. Amen? A connection to God produces fruit. John 15, 4 to 5. We know this one. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Understand this, that we are connected with God. And if we are not taking that connection, you cannot produce fruit. Connection is not the idea that we sit and read our Bible and then that's a connection. Connection is that we let the blood of Jesus transform us. That we understand that so deeply that we are changed by how he died on the cross for us. That we understand that so deeply that we allow him to be the Lord of our lives. That's connection. When there's a connection with someone, you feel it. You know it, that there's a connection is happening. That you can talk through things and you see, God, we're connected here. When there's no connection, you may be talking, but nothing is happening. And that's the question that you have to ask yourself. Are you having a connection to God? Not the connection of the internet. We do connections on the internet. It's so impersonal. You're sitting on the other side, you comment on something and you send it anyway and you don't care. No, when you connect with someone, you sing them, you care about how they feel, right? You will not say certain things that we put online if the person was in front of you. That's not the time of connection I'm talking about. I'm talking about the connections. You see the person, you feel how they feel, and so you pull back. And so you do the right thing because you see them, not the one online. You send stuff and you're like, oh my goodness, how did I send stuff? I don't care. You care when you're connected to someone. You care when you're connected to God. It comes. I mean, all of you are married, you know what I'm talking about, right? When you're connected with your wife, you care. Does that make sense? When you're not connected, you have all kinds of excuses of why I don't have to do that. I'll explain later and I'll do this and you walk away. Then you say sorry later. And that's not the way to leave a good marriage, right? You work on being connected. That's connection there. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. The choice is on us. You have to remain in God. He is not forcing. God is not trying to control, take away your joy, take over you. He's saying you choose to remain in me. It's an open relationship. Do you want to have a relationship? Let's make it happen. But I will work the day you say, I'm happy, welcome to my life. I can help. Then I'll walk with you. Does that make sense? You say, is it possible that you are not welcoming Jesus in some parts of your heart? That he's welcome in the living room, but he's not welcome in the bedroom. Or you don't want him to see what's in the closet or in the garage. Or you don't want to see the clothes that are not washed and all that stuff. Just sit in the sitting room where I always make sure it's clean, but you cannot go past that. What is it in your heart of hearts that you hold on and become God of that place and then say, God, you can stay in the sitting room. That's a good place for you. I put on the TV for you. Hang out there. A good time. Well, back here, I close my place. That is what he's going to keep knocking and saying, can I come and be the Lord of that too? When that happens, you'll be so joyful. You'll ask yourself, why was I holding on it? I should have given him a long time. That's what you're going to find out. Give it to God and you'll see what happens. But we cannot bear fruit if we're not letting go of stuff. And the truth be told, there's wrestling that happens when you're doing these things. There's prayer. There is conversation. There is relationships that you got to build with people that can hold you accountable to that. There is meditation that needs to take place so that you'll empty yourself of all these things that corrupt our souls. And there is need to even examine how you really pursue life altogether. Because every chapter brings different challenges. I mean, you've never been alive today. This is your first day today. Just in case you thought, I know how it feels like to be alive. No, you've never been alive today. Today's a new day. You've never been whatever ages you are. Today's a new day. You're getting old. So you need to approach life with freshness. That freshness of, it's a new day. I love the idea of waking up and the sun is out or it's raining. And I say, God Almighty, let me get out here. Let's see what happens. I love that idea of get out with zest. God's going to do something. Talking to people. Saying hello to them. Sometimes inviting some. Sometimes just saying, wow, they're not very happy. What happened there? That's a lesson to me. That's God talking to me, not to them. I look at them as God saying things to me. But you have to be connected to see that. If you're not connected, you don't see it. If you're not on the web, you're not going to see what's happening online. So you've got to be connected with God to see what's going on. It's possible that you're not connected enough to see what's going on in your life, but to see what God is trying to do. And so you lose fruit, and instead you focus on what's not helping. It's possible.
Transformation that touches others starts with God. If you're not walking on transformation, you're walking on correcting behavior. That comes back very strongly. Transformation kills our sinful nature and grows Christ in us. It's very different. It's a different space. There are many things you can change by behavior, but it's supernatural to be transformed by God. You will not know when it happened, but you look back and say, God healed me of that thing. But it starts by you giving yourself totally to God and connecting to that reality, and change happens. We get fruitful like that. Not just helping you know God, but every other aspect of life. God's blessing can become an idol. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. You know, sometimes God can bless your life so much, and then you try to replicate that. You know what I'm talking about? That in a certain space in life, you had such a good time, you always try to replicate that. That becomes an idol. Okay. Let me explain this. For some people, your teenage was amazing. So you're trying to replicate that all the time. No, you are moved on now, age-wise. You need to embrace where God has put you. For some of us, it's a certain time of my life, I just felt a bliss. I have to get that. No, you need to go past that bliss and go to the new place. So we are stuck because we're always looking backwards. And that's what he's telling them. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. Whatever God did for you at that time was not to get you stuck there, was to say to you, I can do way more than what you're experiencing right now. You may have a setback, but I can do more than I did last time. So we're afraid. We're afraid to embrace because you may have had a setback. We don't know how to pull back and say, I don't want to be stuck with a setback. Verse 27, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking eternal life, like life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. That's where we spend our energy, figuring out God, knowing God. As that happens, the rest is easy. You see, it's funny. We spend our energy trying to figure life out. No, figure out God so that God can help you figure out life. We spend way much time figuring out life. Figure out God and God will help you figure out life. You see, and God is so huge that you can never really put him in your small brain, but you can for sure come to a place of trust and experience and guidance by him. If you look at the earth from the universe point of view, it's a dot. And from that dot, I live on that dot. You live on that dot. It's profound that God listens to us. So I'm not trying to figure out the creator of the universe. I'm wanting to just get to know him and be led by him. Does that make sense? They missed that one. And we're busy fighting. Father has given me the approval. So let's figure out Jesus. Let's not have things that went well in our lives and keep going back to that. That's not coming back. If you need to have a funeral for those things, you need to. Because that's how you move forward. I've had to have some funerals in my life. The days I say, you know what? That is what I miss about that issue. I wish I did this. But I'm in a new place. I need to go to the new place. Instead of saying, how can I recreate that old thing? I'm not going back there. My wife is good with it. She tells me, it's time, you need to move on. I'm like, okay, I know, but I'm still struggling a little bit. And I sometimes sit down and say, okay, I need to make my funeral here, right now. What was good? And what do I miss? Or what is God preparing me for? And I move on. If not, you get stuck and you never move on in life. Jesus told them this. This is the only work God wants from you. Believe the one who has sent. They answered, show us miraculous signs if you want us to believe in what
If we are not to believe in you, what can you do?
So they've moved. Jesus is no longer the point now. We want miracles. Is it possible that you're stuck with them, you're looking for a miracle? Is it possible you're looking for signs? No, you look for God. And I know the scriptures in the Bible that talk about, give me this sign, give me that sign. But it was a relationship with God that made that work. But we can shun God altogether and say, give me a sign.
And sometimes we get signs where there are no signs. He looked at me, he must like me. She looked at me, she must like me. They were looking in the general direction of where you're sitting. They don't necessarily like you. The general direction is a general direction. That's all. The general direction doesn't say, I like you. You follow that? We can't look where you're sitting now. If we look at that side, they must like you. Because we're forcing stuff now. We're done. We're done with God. We're just looking for signs now. And when you're looking for signs, you're going to find them even when they're not there. I saw a leaf on the floor. That was God that put it out for me. I said, no, you need to go to God, man. You stop. Go to God that figures these things out for people. Go to the source. I've said this many times. Go to God. He's going to sort this out for you. If we do that, mission is easy because purpose is in place. Mission is hard when purpose is not in place. It's terribly hard. Because how do you do the work of God without the one that created it for? You will not manage. You will struggle. You'll feel angry, upset, empty. And so I want to tell us this morning that you really need to ask yourself, are you asking for miracles? Or are you asking for God to show you his heart and what he wants you to do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did, and he offers you the true bread from heaven. See, God gave them the bread, but they thought Moses gave it to them. You see how we replace God with people? We see how we replace results with people, results with God? God does something with you and say, oh, Steve did it for me. I'm just a minister. Beyond that, I'm your servant. I didn't do anything for you. That's God doing it for you. I'm very small in the equation. My equation is deliver the message and the rest is you and God. Don't replace me or anybody with God, with what God is. You have to have a connection with God. So that's what he's telling them. What have you replaced with God? Money? Love? Anger? Rage? What have you replaced with God? Mistrust? Bring God in the equation. Bring God in the equation. See what happens. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That is Jesus that did that. So I say to us this morning, yes, we've got to be about mission, but our number one love is purpose. And that is knowing God. Knowing God for yourself. Connecting with God. If you don't know how, get someone that is doing that and help. Let them help you. If you don't have friendships, try to do that. And if you're really stuck, talk to one of the leaders. I'm happy to talk to you about that stuff. And may God help you and bring you back to life. God bless you. Mm-hmm.